evening. And we will. Good evening, and we welcome you to Bible as an acronym, meaning basic instructions before leaving Earth. Hosted by me, Brother Lewis Parker Jr. And it's all given to us through the church at Darien Loop in Houston, Texas, where Brother Lewis Parker IV is the minister. We only host it, but they provide this program and on Thursday night, Bible question and answers hosted by Brother Robbins, Brother Horace Robbins. We appreciate you being here tonight, and we are going to deal with a lecture. Open your Bibles to Ephesians, the 5th chapter. We're going to have a lecture here, and that lecture is entitled Followers of God. Followers of God, taken from verse 1 of Romans, the 5th chapter. You know, the Bible, it teaches us how to live, what to do, why to do it, and give us hope for eternal and everlasting life with Jesus and in heaven with the Father and the Holy Spirit. Verse 1 of Romans chapter 5. And we want you to know something. Any time that you want to say something or help us with something here, press button number 1, and you can say what you want or ask as you want, because we're making this a loving event, one that people may be more considerate of the life and style of life that they are living. Verse 1 says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. We need to gain a close relationship with God that can lead to the everlasting life that he promised unto us. Only if we follow his instructions. Now, what must we do to get these instructions lined up right? Well, the first thing that we need to do is to obey the Bible. And we find in the Bible, in Acts chapter 2, the first gospel sermon ever preached on planet Earth. And the Apostle Peter and the rest of the apostles preached it on the day of Pentecost. And when they heard that first sermon, they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what must we do? Peter told them in Acts chapter 2, verses 37-38, he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission or the forgiveness of all of your past sins. Now, baptism is essential to being a member of the body of Christ. You hear the word, Acts 15:7, you believe the word, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, you repent of your sins, Luke chapter 13 and verse 3, and then last but not least, you are buried in the water grave of baptism. After confession, Matthew 10:32. You must confess Christ to be the Son of God. Then you're buried in the water grave of baptism for the remission, for the cleansing, for the washing away of all of your past sins. And when you go down in the water and you're raised up, you have been born afresh. The old man went down in the water and he was left down there. A new creation in Christ, a new creation in Christ was raised up out of that water, giving you an opportunity to do as verse number 1 has told us. Be ye therefore, after you've been baptized into Christ and become a member of the body of Christ, he says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. You just walk in the footsteps of Jesus and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. My. That's a wonderful thing Christ came here to do, to give his life for a sweet-smelling savor, that we can walk in this world free of sin and walk in love. Verse 3. Let fornication and all uncleanliness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Now, if you've been born again, and then you are a saint, but you must not get to sinning again. Sinning all kinds of stuff. And keep it stopped. Verse 4. He says, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Stop that foolishness and filthiness that you're doing. Amen? Now, if you've been baptized into Christ and you're living like something crazy, out there living wickedly, out there partying, going to the club every night, going to the hotels, the motels, the Holiday Inns with different people, as often as you can. You need to stop it. You're no longer a saint. You're no longer walking in the footsteps of Jesus. Verse number 4. Neither filthiness, nor foolishness, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this we know, verse 5. That no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, have any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Do you understand what he's telling us? We've got to live right. Do what is right. Stand up for righteousness. Don't be out there living like a whoremonger and a filthy, evil, wicked sinner. You've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. You need to repent once again. You don't have to be baptized again. But if you're already a member of the church and you're living like a hellion, just repent. Stop. And ask for the church to pray for you. Stand up on Sunday and tell the church I have sinned. And I ask the church to pray for me that I might be forgiven. But already have your mind made that you're going to stop whoremongering, living filthily, nightclubbing all the time, out in the streets all the time, begging, smoking cigarettes and dope. You're going to stop it and live like God told you to live. Verse 6 of Romans. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Stop listening to some of these no-good lying preachers who have their own church and they're teaching you what they want to teach you to get everything away from you that they can, your money and everything else that they can from you. He said, let no man deceive you with vain words, a bunch of no good words being in there. And listen, even in the church, we have people that talk to other people and lie to other people and try to tell them that something's so bad and everything, lying on everybody, keep some hell going on up in the church. Well, you need to sit your rump on a stump and get out of the way of those that want to live right. Let no man deceive you with vain words. And those vain words don't have to necessarily be a male. They can come from a female. This word here is not just constrained to men only. Let no man, let no person deceive you with vain words, but because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Don't you be a part of hellions in the church. People that are creating problems and talking and running their mouth and lying like they know everything. Don't be even partakers with them. It does not mean that you might hear them, but don't you consent to help them, because you know what they're doing is nothing but trying to tear up the church. Be not ye therefore partakers with him. Verse 7. Verse 8. For we were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Now that you see the right way, get out of the darkness you used to do and do the right thing. Now that you know that you're going to go to hell for being a fornicator, a liar, a evil liver living evil and wickedly, now that you know that you will go to hell for that, walk in the light. Get out of there and walk in the light, like Jesus has told us to do. Verse 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. You know what a fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. Ooh, Lord, that being make me something taste good in my mouth. The fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness. Are you doing goodness to others and for others and every chance that you get? And righteousness. Are you doing righteousness when your mind or Satan was trying to get you to do something evil, but you stand and do the righteousness for God? And truth. Do you tell the truth and don't be lying and can't twist and lying the truth all up and everything, just messing up with people? He said, look, if you're doing those three things, he said the fruit of the Spirit is in you, and you can feel the goodness of it, the righteousness of it, and the truth of it. You're happy. You're not just mad and angry and foolish and want to hurt somebody, lie on somebody, or do something wrong, because you're living the life that God has commanded you to live. Verse 10 of Romans. Romans 5 and verse 10. Proving what is acceptable unto God. See, when you're doing the goodness and the righteousness and the truth, you're proving what is acceptable unto God to the folk that are around you and everything else in your life. And your life has become glorified. Verse 11. And have no fellowship, joint participation, with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. You know, point them out. Deal with them. Reprove them. Get them back out the way. Get them out of your life anyway. Get them away from your life anyway. Because he said, have no fellowship. Don't you fellowship, join participation. Don't you participate with foolishness. Prove it. Don't even have nothing to do with it. And if they want to lie, tell them why. Because God said it's wrong. And God said the kind of stuff you're doing, brother or sister, is going to take you to hell. Not only take you to the final destination, but you will live a holistic life here on this earth. Lord have mercy. That is really pathetic. Listen, Brother Brown, if you're on, I don't know if there's anyone that'd like to have something to say. Just press button number one. If you're going along with this script, yes. Hello?
Oh, no, sir, not at the moment.
Yes, sir, okay. Romans 5, what we're in, and verse 12 now. For it is a shame even to speak of these things which are done of them in secret. Get away from all that secret stuff. You know, I see now, we knew the Masons years ago were in the Church of Christ, and we had to make them stop or quit being a Mason and do all good things. They got their secret signs and symbols and way to talk to each other. Get that. Now we got these, these young people getting into the clubs, the alphas and omegas, and the women getting in there. Secret organizations. They are in the church now. That secret stuff got to get out of the church. Nothing should be done secretly in the Church of Christ. Jesus said, in secret, I did nothing. And right here, we see what Paul is trying to tell us for the same. Even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Verse number 12, Romans 12. But all things that are reproved or discovered are made manifest or made known by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Whatsoever you expose that's been done in secret, it gives light to everybody else. Let us know we shouldn't be living in the darkness of secret organizations. You live in the light of Christ, and you are protected by the Holy Spirit thereof. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret, but all things that are reproved have made manifest by the light, for whatsoever does make manifest is light. Verse 14, wherefore, he said, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Do you understand that Christ will give us light? Understanding. We will see things and understand things better than we ever have when we follow in the footsteps of Jesus, in the message of the word, in the basic instruction before leaving earth. The Bible teaches us how to walk, and Christ reveals that light unto us. Verse 15, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Walk like you got some sense. Don't walk like a fool. You know, everybody know what a fool is. Well, just out of order whenever, wherever, and however. Just a fool. And we need to get out of that foolishness. Many times we can fall into stuff as a fool. And that's bad. That's not good. He says, see then that you walk circumspectly, verse 15, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. We need to take some of this time Look at this time. Look at your days wisely. Because the evil days. Because the days are evil now. We're living in evil, wicked days. Let's take time to walk circumspectly and watch, fight, and pray. Live a good life with your mind on Christ and what he commanded you. Romans 5 and verse 17. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Verse 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Put your wine bottle down. I know Christians that once, a few years back when I was preaching, they were drinking wine like they were going crazy. Well, I'm saying you can drink a drink of wine. Yeah, that's a drink of wine. But you got all them bottles empty in your house and everything and in your garbage can. What are you talking about? You're drinking, you're getting drunk. And the Bible says, be not drunk. Don't be drunk like a fool. Don't take wine wherein you do excess, but be filled with the Spirit. In verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart unto the Lord. Sometimes you can just sit there and sing yourself. That's a beautiful song I learned as a child. Sometimes I sing it in the car when I'm driving by myself. Oh, how I love Jesus, oh, how I love Jesus, oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me, singing, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. Yes, Lord. Amen. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing. Making melody in your hearts unto the Lord. And that's what we are to do in church, out of church. We don't need the instruments. Amen. Somebody said, well, y'all ain't got no instruments. No, we don't have instruments in the church. You don't do that. You know why? Because the very instruments that you bring up in those church took their sounds after the human voice. There's one note that they can hit that rare few humans can do. That's that high C. It's way up there. But they got the sound from the human voice. So Jesus told us to speak to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in our hearts unto the Lord. Not beating and stomping and drums and stuff. No! Make that melody in your mind unto the Lord, singing to him. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he says, love me, yes, Lord. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart unto the Lord. Giving thanks, verse 20, Romans chapter 5, verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praying to our Father and thinking that we're able to pray to him through Jesus Christ. Now notice, Paul gets deeper and deeper. Verse 21 of Ephesians 5. submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Submitting ourselves. You see, you can't do it all by yourself. We've got to fellowship and be with one another. One to another in the fear of God. God said, love thy neighbor as thyself. Now notice verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands as unto the Lord. Well, man, that scripture is dealt with by a lot of men the wrong way. They don't want to go no further. The wife first submit herself to the husband. Yes, she first submit herself to me, the husband, as they do to the Lord. Wait a minute. You can't stop right there, Doc. You cannot stop right there. God created the woman for the man. Remember this. Men, the man was created first. Then God took a rib from Adam and created a woman for the dust for the man. So these women are on this earth for the man. Now it's a two-way street here. The women have been created by God that they will be submissive to a man. Women understand that. You were created by God to be submissive to a man. And that's your nature. But men, verse 21, Romans 5:21, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Don't stop there. Verse 24, men, listen. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be unto their own husbands in everything. That's not it now. Let's read it in verse 25. Husbands, listen, wake up, men. Wake up, brothers. Wake up. Husbands, love your wives. Now, that's good. Well, I love my wife. I love them. Wait a minute. Let me see how deep you love them, man. Let me see how deep you love them. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Listen, men. How many of you men listen right now are willing to die for your wife? Now that you want her to be submissive to you, verse 22, you want her to do verse 22. Now, you know the Bible says that you shall submit yourself unto me as unto the Lord. Now, you got to treat me as good as you treat the Lord. What in the ham sandwich is wrong with you when you want her to treat you like that and you treat her like a dog? You're going to mess around here and God going to kill you. Because Christ said, submit yourselves unto your wives, even as Christ submitted himself, that he gave his body for the church. Husband, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Verse 25. Wives, you listen for that too. Verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church and the Savior of the body. Verse 24. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be unto their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife, loveth himself. If you love your wife, you love yourself. because you have now become twain, one flesh. You got to love your wife. Yeah, you want to say, wives, yeah, the Bible says y'all got to submit yourself. No, but you got to set the example and love her. Be willing to die for her. Give your life for her. So all men to love their wives and their own body. Love you and yourself, too. You know, a lot of times the men say, well, you should love my wife, and they work and they doing it, and they don't even know how to dress up, clean up, or look decent. You look decent. Love yourself, too. Love your wife and love your own body. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Verse 29 of Ephesians 5. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it even as the Lord does the church. We got to know that the wife has become our own flesh. When we get married, we become twain, one flesh. So you got to love your wife and yourself. Show that glory to her. Show that love to her. Verse 30. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. Verse 33. Nevertheless, let every one of you, in particular, love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Lord have mercy. You understand what Paul is saying here? Marriage is important. Marriage is just not the woman doing for you and you doing nothing for her. You've got to let her know that you love her. You appreciate her. She's part of you, and you're part of her. You all become twain, one flesh. She understands your movement. Notice, if you've been married any length of time, the woman understands what's happening when you might be sitting there and ain't telling nobody nothing, and she knows what you're doing. She'll talk with you and expose what's happening to you. She knows you so well. You need to understand to appreciate that and love her for that. Because when she starts understanding and seeing what you're going through and there for you, she's with you. She is for you. She loves you. And you need to understand that and never forget that. You understand? Chapter 30 is a wonderful Bible. A book in the Bible, Romans chapter 5, brother, verse 1 through 30, is a wonderful, wonderful area in the Bible to teach, especially if you're married or looking to get married. Do you have any comments or questions or anything, Brother Brown?
No, sir, not yet.
Okay, are there people on?
No, sir.
Is Brother Parker on?
No, sir.
3049, he's not on.
No, sir.
Okay. And nobody online?
Nobody
listening?
No, sir.
Me and
Sister Renee.
You and Sister Renee?
Yeah.
So we don't know who's on the computer neither. You can't tell that. All right, well. If there's no comments, okay, we're going to move on to chapter 6. Children, Lord, Lord, listen. If you have children, Romans 5, chapter 5 and verse number 6. Ephesians 5, brother. Ephesians 6 now. Ephesians chapter 6. children, obey your parent in the Lord, for this is right. Verse 2. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. You know, young people, children, when you were disobedient and raising a lot of sand to your parent and everything, and you don't obey your parent, you're going to shorten your life. You look at the television and stuff, and we see all of these people being killed, young people killing and shooting. Police got to kill them and everything. You know what? If you really learn who they are and knew who they were, you know why they're dead. There was a boy that was killed here just about a year ago. And there was somebody shot him down dead at a club. You know what? After I knew him and I had heard about how terrible he had been out there in the streets with drugs, selling drugs, and he may have killed some other people. I don't know. But he was a terrible young man out there. And one night, somebody didn't know what happened, so I shot him dead at a club. You see, children obey your parents. Now, that's important. If you can't obey your parents, you in the house raising hell with your parents, grew up to be grown at your parents' house and start ruling them and being disobedient, you shorten your life. Because everybody out there in the streets ain't going to take that crap. You're going to mess around and meet somebody that's going to take your own out of here. You know, to where you think you're going happy to take your own out of there to hell, that's well. Children, obey your parent in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother. And with a coordinating conjunction joining two things of equal value together. Honor your father. Honor your mother. Your mother has equal value like the father to receive the honor from you, child. You got to obey your mama and your daddy. You got to honor both of them. The father and the mother. You got to do that. If you don't do that, notice what he's saying. Ephesians chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother. And according to conjunction, join two things of equal value together. Father is just as valuable as mother. So you obey both of them. You honor the father and the mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that ye may be, it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. You want to see on this earth? Honor your father and mother. We wonder sometimes why some people get killed so quick or something happened bad to them so quick. You check their lifestyle out and see if they were honoring their father and their mother. I know there are some kids I used to substitute in schools, and they kids taught them a lot. Some didn't care nothing about their mama and their daddy. Use cuss words about mama and daddy. You shorten your life. You shorten your life. And you know something, parent? A lot of parents have fault at that, too. Well, I tried to raise them. Look here. Bible, in the book of Psalms, it said, look here. Don't you put the whip him. I'm trying to find a good way to put it. You got to whip the child. Spare the rod. Ruin the child. You know, some parents will just sit them down, talk, put them in a corner. You sit in that corner, and you watch that wall. You watch it. You sit right there, and you watch that wall. And they've been done some terrible stuff, and then you just see that, and the child's sitting there laughing at the mom or the dad for sitting there looking at the wall. That ain't doing nothing to them. The Bible says, spare the rod, ruin the child. If you don't whip them, you ruin them. You see, you got the children got to get some kind of pain or something. Why do you think people don't even raise their children and everything, and now the rod is now to put them in jail for, you know, 2-3 months if it, in the county. If they're doing something when they're younger, or doing something like that, they'll put them in the county jail for 6 months or something like that. But then they only get them ready to put them in the penitentiary for 5 or 6 years in there to try to calm them down. Well, it's not working because the parents have been instructed in the Bible, Ephesians chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. You know, I was looking at something now. I was in Ephesians chapter 5. I believe I might have said Romans 5. But Ephesians 5, that was one book we read, that's 1 through 30. Now I'm in Ephesians 6, verses 1 and 2. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. He said, honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment, with promise. What promise? That it may be well with you. You'll be fine. You'll have a good life. It'll be well. And you shall have a life, live long on the earth. Young people, in order for you to live long on the earth, you got to be obedient to your parents. The promise is to you be obedient. Well, listen, that just don't happen. So you're supposed to be kind. You got to make them cry. So you got to spank them. You spare the rod, you ruin the child. And the younger that you get, they understand the rod, the more submissive that they become. And that's a wonderful thing, that you teach them to be a woman or teach them to be a man. And teach them that, look, you cannot raise your children when you grow up without a rod. They're going to eventually need it. If they don't, then you're going to be very ashamed of them, and they're going to live a hellenistic life and a short life. The Bible says that basic instruction before leaving earth. And ye fathers, verse 4 of Ephesians chapter 6, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Fathers, talk to your children like you got good sense. Don't be cussing and carrying on to your child and all that and talking hellistic to the child. Ye fathers, provoke. Don't you provoke that child. Don't you make that child not your child. You so hateful and so ignorant, your child don't even respect you as a father. They provoke you. They hate you. He said, don't bring up in wrath. He said, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Let them know that you admonish God. You are God-fearing man, but you're God-loving to them, and you're going to instruct them how to live. And if they don't do right, you not beat them because you beating the hell out of them. You not beat them because you mad at them. You beat them so that they'll straighten up and fly right. Spare not the rod. Amen. Don't spare. But you use it appropriately on that child, and let them know you only whipping them out of love. Because you're trying to remove that devil from them, make them start thinking like you're telling them because you are a Christian and you're trying to keep your soul saved. And you're passing it on to your children. He said, this may be, he said, that it may be well with you, children, and you may live long on the earth as human beings, children. Boys and girls, when you're taught right by your parent and raised right by your parent, Christian-like life, you can live a long life on the earth. Verse number 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Fathers, don't get your children all mad, threatening them and whipping them and screaming at them. You got a big, loud voice anyway. Hear the voice. Right? Settle down. Sit your blankety-blank-blank down. Cussing in front of them, too. I saw a man one day. We were at some affair, waiting in line, and his children were doing stuff out of hand. It wasn't that bad, but he started cussing them out like dogs. Well, I'm telling you, I told my wife that that was some years back. I'd probably beat him, hit him upside the head with a bat or something. Amen. Cussing them children out like some street dog. Using all them low life nasty words to the children. Lord have mercy. I think I wasn't the only one thinking about putting someone on his behind, but there were others too that were looking real strange. One white man looked at me and he made a facial expression. I know he was mad just like I was. Don't provoke your children. Hollering at them, screaming at them, acting a fool with the children. And ye fathers, verse 4, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Bring them up loving God, knowing how to act godly, unsinfully, and love living. Verse 5, slaves, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, and singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Now, that meant something when I was coming up, because black folk were still slaves when I was a boy, and I know what my mom and dad went through. And they know, even though slavery had been banned, there were still people treating you like slaves on your job. And then once you do that, notice what he said. Servants, you were treated like a servant. And some women were servants for white people in their houses cleaning up. Some men became servants in white people's house cleaning them up, working around there, in that business, doing the work, you know, sweeping up, cleaning, and taking care of everything. And they were servants. We had servants during my time when I was a little boy. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart as unto Christ. You got to do it. You got to, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir. And keep your head down. You can't even look them up in there. You have to bow. Keep your head down and walk with your head down. And just do as you're told to do, and that's it. And don't leave until they give you the permit to leave. You know, that's something else. See, Paul's not wrong. We had, before the Bible, you came in, we were servants. We came into America as slaves. Now, look at America now. Lord have mercy. I'm so glad that Mr. Trump is speaking out against it. Look at us now. You got people coming in here from another country, walking in and getting good jobs and everything. America, listen. My heritage, my black folk, my people, my family came in here as slaves. We were driven over here in boats, and those that are slaves came up at the bottom of the ship. Came in with chains down, whipped and beat, separated our women from us, took our women and put them on the island, separated us, made us work like the devil here in this country. Build it up to where it is now. We had to fight for our rights, die for our rights, do everything for our rights. Now we're dragging in people that are not Americans, bringing them in on a ship. They come in free to go to work for them, work at the service station, at the stores, or have their own jobs themselves, make their own company. They come in free. and you drag us in here. Those of us that lived to get over here, those of us that didn't get beat to death on the farms where we were chopping cotton, growing cotton, beating like a dog, raping our women, making some bright Negroes around here. You know that. It's a shame. Now, you're going to pay for it now, America. You're going to pay for it. Why do I say that? It's because we're looking at what you've done. Now you got foreigners coming in here, immediately becoming Americans with total freedom. And you forgot. You drug us black folk in here. We fought back eventually, but we were slaves, Lord, for years. Slaves. And we did exactly like the Bible told us to. We were servants and we were obedient to our masters, according to our, whatever our flesh could stand, with fear and trembling and singleness of heart in unto Christ. You know the slaves that came here? They did bring their belief in God here, but they couldn't show it to white folk. Don't you think that if you beating a man to death in the back and beating on trees and you raping our women, don't you know that there were some prayers set up? We gained our freedom, but I want you to look at something. How is God going to bless this country now? You're letting everybody and anybody in here, not slaves, free as a ham sandwich. And not only that, you passed the right. Our Supreme Court said, look, God the Father, you are lying. A woman can marry a man, and a woman can marry a woman. It does not matter what color they are or who they are. If they want one of these people that came in declared themselves to be an American. You see, we have lost it in America. And I hope, trust, and pray that Donald Trump say a little bit more to all this leadership. Because I think that he might move out of America when this election is over. I don't blame him. Try to get out of it because America is on the way down. On the way down. Just like every great nation that went against God in the Old Testament. Read about them. God destroyed great nations. And right now, these people from the east moving in here and going on, it reminds me of some of the biblical days when others started moving out of their country into the other country. That announced the fall of that nation. Now, we've done it to ourselves. We may as well forget about God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her to the light with the right from above. We're not going to be able to do that no more. We can stop singing that song. Because our Supreme Court has put hell on top of America, has made the devil the ruler of this nation. Anything you want to do, you can do. You see, the Supreme Court has lost its mind. They know right there in Houston when Denise Parker, the mayor, wanted to pass a law so that men could not preach against gays. Pass a law so a man can walk into a woman's restroom who dressed like a man, and a woman can walk into a man's restroom dressed as a woman and say that I'm gay and use the toilet. That's pathetic. You see what's going to happen. America has now become the new Sodom and Gomorrah. We'll pick up where we left off in Ephesians 6 next week. And we want anybody that's got questions or have something to say or want to teach some of it themselves, just call in. Call in, please. Brother Brown, do we have anybody want to say anything before we close?
No, sir.
Okay, Brother Parker, not on nobody else, so we can. Would you give us a dismissal prayer? How many minutes we got? 1 minute?
Yeah, around
there. Okay.
Oh, 5 minutes.
We got 5 minutes? Well, okay, we're good. Ephesians 6 and verse 5. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. And if you recall, I recall, as a boy growing up, right after we had gotten our freedom, but it wasn't all over. You still had a lot of black men working for white men in their business as slaves, and women in their house as slaves, and all the cleaning up, washing dishes, and everything else there in their house. And men were slaves on certain type of jobs that they were on and everything else. And you know something? They'd be laughing. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. They said, yes, sir. And then they put that on. Notice what the Bible says. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of heart, as unto Christ. So they behave themselves very intelligently and happy, yes, sir, and buying down and everything. But they also had God on their mind. You see, what the white people forgot is that you brought us over here, but we had God on our mind. You might have taken us from some country where we lived in tents or huts or whatever, but we still had God on our mind. We were submissive. And we knew we had to be very submissive if you didn't want to get whipped or even killed by the white people. And you became a good slave. Listen, and today, we as Christians, we're going to have to do God's will, speak God's word in the midst of all this hell going on. But don't worry about it. God's going to say, yes, sir. Anybody on? Somebody trying to get on? Hello?
No, sir. Yeah, no, sir.
Oh, I thought I heard somebody getting on. But we appreciate you tonight, and we'll pick up at this verse. We want you to think about it. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 5. Think about it. And then think about the job that you own and see if you're not a good servant or not. You know, having a job is still being a slave, whether you're free or not. You better do right. You know, it depends on your boss. You can't go in there acting crazy, looking crazy, and everything else like that. They're not going to put up with it and they'll fire you. Tell me about that next week. Thank you very much, Brother Brown.
Yes, sir. Tune in Thursday at 7:30 p.m. for open forum on the Globe of the Word of Prayer. Our Father in Heaven, we thank you for this day. We want to thank you for your Son, Jesus. Sacrifice we made that we may have everlasting life, just be obedient to his will. We want to thank you for the listeners that listened tonight. Hope that something was said that was said tonight that be pissing to their heart that they may ask what they do to be saved. And also want to ask to your prayers for Brother Parker and his family that he may have a long life in jeopardy, that he may continue to preach your word. And also we want to just thank you, Father, for this show. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.